It's a home game. Is it a must win?
Yeah, it's a must win. And these kind of qualifying games, your home games are must wins.
Davies takes it away. 2v1. Davies has Buchanan. Alfonso Davies keeps it himself. Goal! Alfonso Davies, are you kidding me?
We've been waiting for a moment like this for the men's team. And we delivered. The fans delivered. I said right at the beginning, I said, you give 1,000% to own this ground and you'll get 30,000% back. And we got it. The fans were brilliant. What a great night.
It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Ilish Forfar, and Blake Murphy. Blake, what do you make of John Herdman's math there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just say if I woke up this morning and had seen that kind of return on investment in my, you know, we would have had a very different conversation about our bets from last night in that first segment.
So we'll talk to Sharman later, James Sharman on the show at 7:30, about what exactly happened or what the explanation is at BMO about not letting those fans in on time. Because I saw a lot of people tweeting about when they arrived. And of course, that can be a lie. But I think that there was a lot of truth to it. People showed up. People showed up early. And part of me always goes, hey, listen, we're doing the vaccine passport thing now. So have your things ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you get to the front, have your ID and your vaccine passport ready to go. Flag it in your inbox. Save it to your notes. Do whatever you need
Make
to do.
Make it your screensaver on your phone.
Right.
I've seen that.
Yeah, so that just that is accessible and easy to go, right? But also, that is a huge failing on the people at BMO. And I'm sorry, but it is. Having that many people and understanding that you're asking and advertising constantly. I've done these shows before Canada games, and they've asked me to do reads about showing up early.
Yeah, the Canada soccer Twitter account. Coming in game tonight? Arrive early.
Right. And people did that.
Mm-hmm.
People arrived early, and they still ended up having to wait for as much as half an hour.
Oof.
And you could hear the frustration in Gareth Wheeler's voice as he was trying to call this game of, hey, fans are still filtering in. He had a great call, by the way. Shout out to Gareth Wheeler. This was like you, that first goal call, awesome.
Awesome. Raptors 905 legend.
So, Wheeler. That aside,
they were there when it mattered at the end.
Canada goes down though 1-0. Oof. And I mentioned it off the top of the show how all my anxieties as a sports fan come out and I start to blame people for getting me into soccer. I'm being a baby. I'm being a huge baby in the voice notes. That's why I send voice notes sometimes, is I'm like, this will go away. There's no one's going to screenshot.
That's true. This. When you do send voice notes to us, I go back sometimes to like re-listen to it to see what you said, and it's gone. I'm like,
sorry.
He's smart.
No,
you can save them, but I don't think about that in the moment.
You should text me and just say, what did you say earlier? And I'll go, I don't remember.
Yeah, I hope like, yeah, I don't remember sending you a voice note.
I didn't send anything. But Canada Soccer has had some really good results so far in qualifying. A draw in Azteca, historical for them. A draw against the United States, awesome. But we heard it from Osorio there. He came on the show and said this was a must-win game. And I'll be honest, I hadn't really looked at who was where in the table other than Canada, the States, and Mexico. And to see Panama this morning when I was looking at the standings below them and knowing that not only would a loss obviously have been disastrous and a real awful moment, but that win, coming back and making sure that they didn't end up with their fifth draw already, it would have been five draws. It was monumental. And I wonder this for just the both of you. When it comes to Canada soccer, they're spreading out the rest of these games. There's eight games remaining in qualifying. They're in the top three. This goes until, I believe, March of 2022. So these games are going to be drawn out. Was last night a tipping point moment for you with Canadian soccer?
Certainly. And I think maybe even more so because it was here in Toronto for us.
Yeah.
And you saw definitely people that you knew at the games. You saw your Twitter feed becoming Canada soccer stands. I definitely think that this was, as you said, a breaking point for us to get on board and maybe casual fans becoming more accustomed with what it's like to be a soccer fan of Canada soccer. Also knowing that they don't play again until November. That's just a really good momentum to to lead on, to have a little bit of a break for these players to have a good feeling going into their back to their league games, coming back to Canada for Edmonton in November, which is going to be
still
freezing.
Trying to figure
yeah,
out.
I'm not sure like how that's going to work. They're going to be playing outdoors.
My guess is Byron's not going to be thrilled about Davies going to those games.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, you want to have Davies show up in Edmonton? Sorry, show us where Edmonton is on the map.
Yeah.
For two games,
freezing. Okay,
yeah.
But I just think, yeah, as you were saying, a tipping point, people will be more invested than ever. That's all you need. Just a little bit of support because, you know, Canada soccer is something that I think is on the rise. We talked yesterday about it. This is a momentum building moment for them. And for them to do it here in Toronto, it helps the city get on board.
Yeah. And I think there's a bit of a transition in the, maybe not the narrative, but the feel around the program when you're growing from being a team that's excited about taking a point from some of these bigger programs to beating them and last night beating them emphatically. So Panama is not necessarily a powerhouse or anything, but they were in the last World Cup. They got pasted when they were there, but they were in the last World Cup. And that's, you know, if you were going to draw this out, okay, we're going to assume for sure Mexico and the U.S. are going to qualify. Who's that third team? Mm-hmm. And if you know, the fourth place team in this table will go to that interconfederation like last chance kind of wildcard thing. You know, who has a chance to advance through that? And it's Canada, Panama, and maybe to a lesser extent Costa Rica. And we'll see Canada host Costa Rica in that November set. But I think there's just, you know, especially when you're talking about getting fans not on board, because there's obviously a huge soccer fandom in Canada, but the kind of collective belief that something special is happening here, I think it's a lot easier to, or it's just a bigger step to be like, okay, you know, taking a draw off of Mexico and the U.S. is cool. It's a huge moment for the program. Those are really important points and really important results in this qualification procedure. But if you're a more casual fan or it's something, you know, maybe you don't have the history with soccer to, you know to really appreciate the importance of taking a point at Azteca. Well, on your own home turf, beating a team that you're basically competing with head to head for that final spot in the way that they did, I think is a bigger step. And it's, I guess, a sign of growth that the program is ready to move on past, oh, hey, a draw or like an okay result is a nice step forward. It's
being
like, no,
around is a nice step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, they're not happy to be just happy to be there anymore. And I think that's always an important sign of growth for a program in any sport.
Canada's now taken 7 out of 9 possible points at home throughout this. That to me is a representation of what the Canadian soccer fan base can help you do as well. Playing on the road in general is difficult, but think about last night, being down 1-0 early in the game, having the crowd come in, be behind you to help fuel a comeback. I think there's a lot to be said about what it's like to play on home soil and for this Canadian soccer team. Having the support of their fan base clearly has helped them. Like, there's no doubt about it. So their next couple games, they play the next two matches on home soil again. You're thinking, well, that will be just that extra edge to help them get through.
And I'm sure they'd tell you too that they'd love to have that Honduras match back that they drew at BMO in early September, because you look at the way things have gone since then, and you can pretty safely say that should, or at least could, have been 3 points for Canada as well.
So you're right that the diehards are already there, right? Canada soccer has people like Sid Sixero, the Sixero family in general, who have always been living and dying with this program. But what you have, I think, in this country is a lot of people where Canada soccer, at least on the men's side, has been largely irrelevant. And so they've gravitated internationally towards caring about where their grandparents are from or where their great-great-grandparents are from. And what I really felt last night was I've never seen that before, where it was a packed BMO and it was that level of energy, where I looked at it and went, we felt like a soccer country last night. We felt like a soccer city last night. That wasn't, and again, I was at the El Salvador game there were probably more El Salvador fans than there were Canada fans. It was sneaky embarrassing, and it actually got me into a mode where I went, oh, this is how there's violence in soccer. I was like, oh, I see. You really get in your emotional feels when people are invading your space to this degree, and it's nationalistic pride, and all these things are happening, and there's the intensity that soccer has, right? I talked about this with baseball. Baseball is very, very intense, and you have these moments where you're just sitting in it. And soccer is that the whole way through in a tight game that matters. And you have to sit there in it. And so I felt it. I really did. And that's why I said it was such a great fan experience for me. But last night, them doing that and having these shots of Alphonso Davies, hey, this is our star player. This is the best player in CONCACAF. Here's why. Because he can go down a sideline, rip a ball from somebody to the point where the other team is so confused by his brilliance that they are just looking at the officials saying, well, obviously this, what doesn't count.
That can't be legal.
That wasn't legal. What he just did, that we have the highlights of their star player doing that, that they came back with adversity, that they had a moment where they're scrumming it up with the other team. And they're saying, we're not just going to take this lying down. We're not just gonna let you push us around. Our whole team is going to stick up for one another.
This is our turf.
Right.
Like, don't.
And to do it in front of that crowd and to see that crowd, that is infectious. If you're trying to sell the sport, sell the program, sell the excitement, how could you look at any part of it and not think, oh my God, I want to be associated with this in some way?
And I think it's going to be, you know, that momentum is going to be accessible for people. Like, soccer is the largest participation sport in Canada. It's the fastest growing. Mm-hmm. The women's program is incredible. And we're coming off of that.
Yeah, I want to talk about that next.
Yeah, we're coming off of that incredible run from them as well. So I think it's going to be easy to build that up.
You know what it reminded me of? This atmosphere last night and, like, kind of the growing fan base. When the Toronto Wolfpack had their incredible run. I don't know if you ever went to.
Do they exist still?
Okay, so this is the thing.
I was going to say, this is a tough example.
No. But it was like,
and
okay,
then
like
they, the soccer
hold
fan.
On, they had this give
huge win
second.
And then they folded.
No, like, fans started going to Toronto Wolfpack games one or two summers ago because it was the thing to do, and it became this amazing atmosphere where you didn't care if you were a longtime Toronto Wolfpack fan or not. Just like players coming and fans coming to see the Canada soccer game, like, you're a new fan. Mm. Yeah. You went to the game and it now has ignited you as a fan. That was like the Toronto Wolfpack experience. You go and you're like, hey, what is this? I'm not really a fan, but now I'm going to be on board with them. And they had this championship run and they won. This is definitely, it makes sense, guys. Get on board with me.
I think you were just, you had a good time. You had the cheap beers at a Wolfpack game and you bought one of their cool hats.
She saw Liam Kay running down with his massive quads and the big blonde hair flowing.
I would have bought this more if they didn't fold.
That has nothing to do with them folding.
No.
It has to do with the city coming on board for something and being an integral part of that fan experience that helps them win games.
Sure. And I understand that from a crowd vibe perspective. I just think it undersells how much soccer already means to a lot of people.
I understand that.
Where we don't have, you know, there aren't many people with a, like, familial or, like, rooting history with rugby in the same way.
I'm not saying it's exactly the same. I'm saying there are similarities with the atmosphere at the games and how the fans will come and help the team, and it will be an enjoyable experience. And the city of Toronto was good at doing that.
Tell you what, if BMO lowers the beer prices to where they were for Wolfpack games, I'm never going to miss an international game.
I'm actually not
going to
go
again.
Because I'd be afraid of the potential violence if the crowd is split, if it's that cheap.
But like, this is just to finish off the thought on the growth here is, like, the last time Canada's men's team made the World Cup, I was a month old.
Yeah,
the last time they even
scored no goals in that World Cup, right?
Yeah, and the last time they even really came super close in qualifying was 1998. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, again, the women's program is amazing, and the participation rates in soccer around Canada are really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes all of these moments really accessible, and that's a huge part of continuing to grow the momentum here.
And all you can hope for is that now that these fans of Canada soccer men can be like, oh, wait, the women's team has already been good, has already been putting up championship years, has been winning medals, has been there.
Has the GOAT,
mm-hmm. has been getting way less media coverage and attention and fan participation. Hey, if we love Canada's soccer men as much, we should pay attention to Canada's women's soccer team.
I think that we care a lot about the Canadian women's soccer team. More, almost, I would even say that I feel like it would be shockingly close how many people would know the amount of players on the Canadian women's national hockey team as the soccer team. That was a massive, massive, massive moment. You looked at the ratings, the number that gold medal game did, especially where it was sitting.
Well, it was the gold medal game.
I know.
Where are you every other day of the year?
No,
don't argue women's sports with me.
Well, I'll just tell you this, that the Canadian women's soccer team, just it has a very deep following. It's because they've been around for a while and they have been winning for a while, as you said.
I agree.
And so I do believe that part of this, in terms of the momentum for the program right now, is 100% coming off of that gold medal win, where there is a drafting effect here mm-hmm. of, hey, they got this done. Our program is legitimate. Canadian soccer is legitimate. And there was such an exciting feeling around that win that, to me anyways, this feels more exciting and this feels bigger. And that probably, when we're talking about casuals, right, like myself, people who are new to being a soccer fan, mm-hmm. I was a fan of the women's program, but there's not as many games that end up happening here, right?
There's no professional women's soccer league in right. Canada, so that would be great to have.
It would be, but I've spoken with the commissioner of the National Women's Soccer League. And this really does come down to a lot of factors. It does have to happen now if it is going to mm-hmm. happen. But I do think that there is just like when we're talking about who are the bigger stars here, this is a men's program that was much smaller in terms of star power than the women's program. And you can't really say that about any other sport in this country. Like
That's
Canadian
true.
Women's soccer team, Christine Sinclair is a superstar. People know who she is. They know who Sophie Schmidt is. Mm-hmm. They know who Melissa Tancredi is. They didn't have that with the men's national program, right? Alfonso Davies shows up, and now all of a sudden we're starting to learn about who else is on this team. And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying that it is a very nice symmetry between these two national programs of, well, you might be just like in Olympic hockey, caring just as much about the women's team as the men's team, but maybe they're actually both there and maybe they're actually both threatening. That's the thing for me about the Canada game last night is it's not just that they won, it's how they won. Mm-hmm. Being down 1-0 and then just dominating, like kicking ass, proving that you got to see Alfonso Davies play that way. That they drew with Mexico at the Azteca, and it wasn't like, wow, what a fluky win. They definitely held on to that game. They ran out of steam a bit, and it got very, very close, and I thought Mexico would win. But the first half of that soccer game, it sure didn't feel like Canada didn't belong there. They felt like the better team. And a lot of these results, they just look like a program that belongs. They look like a team that isn't doing this because other teams suck or they've gotten lucky results. They just look very good. So I think that adds to my excitement about this. It's mm-hmm. the way that I feel about the women's soccer team where I go, I'm excited because I feel like you can win. I'm not excited because you're fluking this out. I'm invested in you because you actually have star talent that comes through in big spots like Christine Sinclair. That's how I feel about Canada soccer when I see them with Davies. That's how I feel about them when I see them with David. That's how I feel when I watch them with Osorio. It's a different thing, cheering for a team that can win rather than a team that is just there.
You know what would be good to blend these momentums together is 2022 World Cup happening in the winter. That summer prior is the Women's World Cup qualification that hasn't had a host announced yet for CONCACAF. So maybe that's an area where, Ailish, to your point, getting more of the women's national team games here. Host the CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, rolls right into the World Cup, rolls right into the Women's World Cup. There you go.
I love it.
Yeah. Trying to bridge
Sign
the gap.
Up.
Trying to bridge the gap for you two here.
I don't think that there is a gap. That was kind of my point.
Well, no, between the two of you, not between the men's and women's program.
I don't, but I also don't think there's a gap between the two of us either. We both want a women's professional soccer league here.
Yes, absolutely.
And we both think that slight contention there is that I do believe that the women's national program now has a huge, huge, huge spotlight on it and that they are bigger stars than the men's program.
Well, they just won a gold medal.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But they've been good for a while now, and that sustained success has built up a lot of personalities that are not just Christine Sinclair, where that's it's like right. you do know a lot of the players mm-hmm. on the roster rather than with this Canadian men's team. I know for me anyways, I'm still learning who these guys are. Like, I know who Davies is. I know who David is. I know who the big national draws are. I know mm-hmm. who the players are that play for TFC. Right. There's a lot of players on that team where I'm like, I don't know who you are. And I've known who a lot of the women are for a long time now because they've been successful. That's why this is a tipping point for these guys. What's that 5-9 of the fan? I'm JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a really good spin zone for Blake later about the topic we just had. So stay tuned for that. But as for now.
Spin zone? I'm not familiar with that segment.
Like a spin on the spin.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what they call it in like in political talk shows, they go, spin zone. Welcome to spin factor. Spin. Yes.
Gotcha.
Because you just spin on the spin. I'm ready to spin things. I'm ready to spin things with my buddy, James Sharman. What's up, man? How are we doing?
We're doing pretty good, thanks, guys.
Yeah, we are doing pretty good. Soccer analyst for Sportsnet. You, hey, nice of you to show up at the soccer game. You know, usually it's just me down there at BMO, but they got to pay you to go, but that's cool. You still went anyways.
Yeah, it's not the same though, as staying at home, though, you know, watching it between the Leaf game, right, in the periods and that. So, I was glad that tonight I made it, and we did miss you, JD, because you bring that real spirit.
I got to tell you, though, so, and I was joking about this with people last night, texting some friends about how I'm furious that I'm so heavily invested in this team all of a sudden, right? And I do think that part of it has played off of the run that the Canadian national women's team has been on, where now I'm like, okay, you know, it'd be nice if the men's team could do this. All of a sudden they're doing this. Before we get into the actual meaning of the game, all the different stuff, the nuts and bolts of it, the first thing that I saw on Twitter anyways was your post about the fans not getting in, and I'm watching the game and it looked light and I'm thinking, what is happening here? Did most people just go to the Leafs? Did people not want to go to this game? And it sort of rolled out that BMO, like, what happened here? Is there an explanation from the stadium? Is there something? I know they're not back there for the next qualifiers, but that's pretty frustrating to see fans say that they were showing up early and taking over half an hour for some people to get into the game when the stakes were so high and home field is supposed to be a massive advantage because fans are there.
Yeah, I know. It was frustrating. I spoke to a lot of fans who were stuck out there for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, missed the first half. And it came down to, I guess, whether the stadium is unprepared or overwhelmed. Obviously, they're checking the vax certification as well for the first time, so maybe that's what it was. But it wasn't great. It wasn't a good look. And I'm like yourself, I'm starting to watch that match thinking, where are the fans? You know, there's supposed to be an almost sellout crowd, and then you look, you know, to the south end and you can see this massive lineup outside, and you think, oh boy, something's happening there. So that was frustrating. However, that being said, you know, as long as you got in for the second half, you'd be happy, right? Because that's where the action happened. Yeah.
So when the fans did eventually show up, they got quite the show. What was the environment like, you know, when we were watching on TV and it seemed absolutely incredible? I had some friends posting on social media. It seemed like a blast. But how much of a boost does that give to the boys when they're out there and, the you know, the sea of red is in front of them?
Yeah, and that's a great term, the sea of red, because, you know, for many years that just wasn't the case. When Canada played home games, and oftentimes they'd be outnumbered by opponents' fans. And even the last match against El Salvador, or last match window, you know, they were outnumbered by the El Salvador fans. But this time around, it was very much a partisan Canadian crowd. It was a fantastic atmosphere. It was loud. It was excitable. The South End with the Voyagers, which is the Canadian national fan club, essentially, they did a great job bringing the flags in. It felt like a real proper football experience. And that's something that John Herdman talks about, and how this team now feels very safe at home. They feel very comfortable here, and it's definitely a home field advantage in those environments, which, you know, you speak to former players for Canada, they say they never had that. So, that was a great moment, I think, just to see the fans arrive, finally by the second half at least, how loud it was, and it was a good experience.
Are we worried at all about the November window at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton? Are there enough red jackets to go around to repeat the sea of red in Edmonton?
Well, you know, Edmonton are renowned for like, really supporting their sports, right? They love the sports out there. So I am confident, yes, that they will. Whether there'll be enough players showing up, I mean, that's turf, and a lot of these European clubs won't really want their players released to play on that surface, but you know, they really have no choice when it comes down to it. But I suspect there'll be a great crowd out there as well, and enormous games. What should be some tough conditions for all the players, not just the Mexican players and Costa Rican players for Canada as well, but it should be a slight advantage for Canada.
So sticking with this crowd before we actually talk about what happened in this game and the meaning and looking forward. You said it. It felt like a real football crowd. When I was there for the El Salvador game, it was pretty split. It was a lot of El Salvador fans. It was a lot of blue. We had Jonathan Osorio on yesterday. He mentioned that it pissed him and the team off to be getting off the bus and see so much blue and not that much red. And yes, there are diehard fans that care very much about this program. There are people like your buddy Thomas Dobby, right, where they're there, win, lose, draw, whatever. They're just going to be there. They're going to grind. They're going to love this team. But somebody like me now, James, cares a lot, is going to games, is watching these games and having a difficult time putting the Maple Leafs back on because I felt the weight of the stakes. And to see people show up that way, and then not only just show up that way, watch a game where they fall down, they face adversity, they come back, they show toughness, they win, they dominate, they have the best player on the pitch by a million miles, and he has an incredible moment in the game where he scores a goal. I know that we do this with Canada soccer a lot of times, and you might feel frustrated as someone who has always been a commentator on the game and who's always been with it to have the, is this something for Canada soccer? Is this actually a tipping point? Is this really where it kind of breaks through? But does this actually feel different to you? Does this one this time actually feel like, you know, something's happening here? Something different is happening here.
Yeah, it does. And you said that they're at a tipping point. I think that's happened. And maybe it was last night with that Alphonso Davies goal. Mm-hmm. But it does feel that the country is now waking up to this team, not just the soccer community. We've been there for years, obviously. But beyond that, I think slowly but surely you're seeing more mainstream coverage of this team and this team's identity. And that's what it's been growing from the first match day. We've seen this team that can play. They can play dynamic, beautiful football. But last night we saw that toughness. And we heard Alistair Johnston at halftime saying, hey, man, we're Canadians. We're tough. That's how we like to play. And we saw moments where they really CONCACAF'd a team that generally CONCACAF Canada. And for your listeners that don't understand what that means, is playing in this region is not easy. There's a certain style of football that has really hurt Canada in the past. It's not really sport per se. It's trying to find, reaching into those dark recesses of the mind, doing the bad things to get results. And we saw it last night with Canada, with Daniil Henry, a sub on the sidelines, refusing to move for a Panamanian player taking a corner and how upset the Panamanians. He got under their skin. We saw post-match Canada refusing to back down from the physical intimidation from this Panamanian team. So I think Canadians, we love that side of sport, I think. And this team showing the country that they can play both ways now. And I think they're a likable bunch of guys. They're a young bunch of guys, obviously punctuated by Alphonso Davies. But I think you're right. I think we're at a moment now. If the country doesn't get behind the team now, I don't think they ever will. And I think the signs so far are pointing that they are getting behind it.
So as that momentum builds, Canada now third in the table for qualifying 6 out of 14 games in. Is there an increased level of pressure that's going to come with that? You know, you host Costa Rica for your next game, and they're, you know, 4 points behind you right now, but ostensibly one of the teams competing for that third and fourth spot in the table. So, you know, there's obviously a ton of positivity, a ton of momentum. As we get deeper into these qualifiers, is there an extra level of pressure that's going to come with that as expectations rise from, you know, maybe being fourth and getting to those inter-confederation playoffs to, no, the expectation should now be that you're one of the three CONCACAF teams there in 2022?
You know, Blake, whenever I expect this team to lay an egg and take a step backwards, they deliver. It's happened over and over again in this qualifying campaign. So, yeah, you're right. There will be much more pressure. These games are now becoming real. I mean, the one last night was maybe the biggest game since 86. It's quite possible to say that, given what it meant in the table. Panama was in third place. Canada was in fourth. Now they've switched. It was a six-pointer. But as we move forward now, we're going to see these massive games, two more home games against Mexico, who are the best team in the region, against Costa Rica, a very strong team as well. And you've got to get points in at least one of those games. So we'll see what this team does when it goes back on the road, when it goes to Panama. And you know, what happened last night, you know, Panama will not be hospitable hosts. Same with Honduras. They're going to be tough games, but games that really Canada needs to get points in. So, yeah, there'll be big pressure. But so far, this team, they seem to thrive under the pressure, with the exception of the Jamaica game, where there were some other issues with the field, some suspended players, where they weren't great, but they still got a point. I think this team's showing everyone that they can still, you know, succeed no matter what's thrown at them. And that's something you can never say before about another Canadian team.
It's weird having you on right now because you were on TV and you were doing your hit, and I can see you talking in the microphone. No, I just, it's just you're there, you're talking. I'm like, yeah, James, I see you. You're talking right to me on the television. So we know what's different with the fans, right? And we can sense this building, and that's what happens with winning. And the creation now of more household names. Obviously, we're already there with Alphonso Davies. I think it's pretty well known within the country, you know, who this guy is to soccer. And Jonathan David became more of a name over the last year. And we know the players who have come through here and have played for TFC or currently play for TFC because they will be household names. I mentioned a segment not too long ago. I did a segment the other day on how there's actually a case to be made that Atiba Hutchinson is one of the most underrated athletes that this country has ever had. But what do you think is different right now? Like, what outside of just the star power of a Davies? Because I think a lot of us draw that line of, well, they have Davies now. This is why Canada's good. What to you is, like, when it comes to the actual game, changed most drastically for Canada soccer?
Well, there's that self-belief which you can put down to John Herdman, who's come into this team at just the right time, in fairness. He knew what he was walking into with these young talents emerging. But he's got that self-belief that he instilled in the women's program for years. Play bigger than you are. And he's got that mindset. And from a boring football perspective, also, you watch this team play and they're very versatile. They switch formations within the game. They can play, you know, a 3-4-3 or a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3 seamlessly. And the players have that IQ, that football IQ, that they can shift these positions and play different brands of football when they have to. And I think that comes down to just the quality of talent, but also it does come down to the coaching staff and what they've, you know, done to this group of players who believe in everything. They believe they can win any game they enter, no matter who they're playing. And listen, there'll be that moment. There'll be a time when they, you know, have an issue and they play a large team, a big team, and they crumble. It's going to happen. It happens to everyone. But right now, they enter every good team with a swagger and a confidence that, hey, you know, I've watched this team for many, many years. It's never had before, ever. Not even back in 86. It never had this swagger. So they're a team that can make some real noise, I think, in the world stage. It may pick up. Maybe if they get to the World Cup, maybe a surprise result here and there. That's where we're at this point with this team.
Dude, this is what makes me so excited, right? Is I watched the game against Mexico, and that first half, they were the better team, right? They looked good. And last night, they just, even when they were down a goal, I thought they're dominating. They're going to have to break through here eventually. Otherwise, this is just one of those all-time sickening losses where you play over moment after moment after moment in your head and go, how the hell did this team lose this game? But the idea that Canada, the gap between them, Mexico, and the United States is shrinking to a degree. Do you buy that? And not just, I'm not trying to say these are weaker programs on the other side, but what are we actually looking at here from the standpoint of where Canada stacks up in North American soccer? Is it getting closer to the top?
You know, there is an argument that CONCACAF isn't as strong as it has been in previous years.
Yeah.
Right? Mexico isn't as strong as it has been. Still very good. The U.S. is a bit like Canada in that they're in a bit of a transition. They're very young, but they're very good as well. And they're going to get better and better. And they've got a bigger talent pool. But you look at Canada, and they're valid arguments, but at the same time, look at the players Canada has and where they're playing now. They're playing a lot of these players for big teams in top leagues, and that's going to only continue. Tejan Buchanan, for example, has just joined Club Brugge. Now, Club Brugge may not be a household name, but they're a good team, renowned for developing young talent. He'll be there for a couple of years. He'll make a next jump to another big club. So I think you're seeing this Canadian team legitimately becoming and growing into a very solid, and you mentioned their resilient team as well, that can go down in games and still fight back with that self-confidence. But yeah, so I think we just sit back. Let's not question this right now. You know, I still see on social media the old, you know, beleaguered Canadian fans still saying, yeah, but when it goes wrong, or even they best in the game. Let's just enjoy this and celebrate it right now, because they're playing good football. They're not, you know, lucking out. on any results. They're winning games because they're the better team. So they're a team that can move forward, I think, and progress to a World Cup.
What I love about that fan is, yeah, obviously Canada's not going to win a World Cup, right? It's not. This isn't about to happen. So it's, you got to enjoy right now. Like, just how about that? Yeah. Just enjoy right now, because it's not going to get much better than this, right? Like,
listen, Jody, that goal, the Davies goal last night, that was probably amazing. The greatest single moment from a talent skill standpoint we've ever seen. On the field, a Canadian player. It was incredible. That was a world-class goal with pure, raw speed and pace that I don't think anyone else in the world could accomplish. That pace with the touch. And that's a Canadian player.
Wow.
That's a Canadian player that did that.
Yeah, so that's one where my dumb soccer brain doesn't even really know. All I could do with that one is, wow, that looked amazing to me. I was freaking out. I was actually on the phone with a friend talking about the game, and I was like, I can't believe that just happened. But then I'm like, I don't know how spectacular that is, because I don't have a reservoir of just, you know, understanding goals the way that, you know, someone like you does. What I would say is I thought it was pretty the way to maybe almost explain part of it to a casual like me is if you looked at the members of the Panama soccer team, how they were like, well, that obviously can't count. That wasn't legal. That something happened there. I was like, that seems like a good barometer for how great a goal was.
Yeah, I think they're just going to throw their hands up and say, yeah, well, maybe the ball went out of bounds, but applaud him. I mean, he had like a 40-yard head start, and he still got there. It was like watching a computer game. It was just ridiculous, and I think we'll see that goal replayed many, many times over the next few years.
That's it. Again, when we get back to tipping points, this is why, to me, that mattered so much more, that goal, is the situation of it, the style of it, the player who it was, the backdrop of being in Canada and having those flags flying everywhere and all of the red. I cannot imagine seeing that scene, even just that little snippet, you know, just that highlight on your Instagram feed or your Twitter feed, and not thinking, wow, that's something I want to pay attention to, or that's something I want to be a part of, or that's something I want to have just even a little slight connection to. I want to know more about this. It was an awesome moment. It really, really was. It was a really, really great moment last night for sport, for the city, for just a lot of different things. The only people it wasn't great for, and this is the last one, I'll let you go. And I'm going to end it on a negative note because everything has been so positive. What? So is they, again, I'm just getting used to soccer in some ways. So this is officiating? Like, this is the norm for me? This is what I've signed up for in my life?
Yeah, it kind of is. Especially in this region. It's not great. I mean, there were two stonewall penalties in that first half. And luckily now, you know, well, thanks for, you know, mentioning it. I think we'll be talking about them because they won 4-1.
Yeah.
But now you bring it up. And there's no VAR, which is video assistant referee. There's none of that in this qualifying campaign. Had there been, I'm sure at least one of those would have been given. So if you're going to, you know, jump aboard the bandwagon, JD, which I think you are, just realize that at some point you'll be hurling a beer at the TV set because the officiating is generally horrendous in this region.
I'm so mad. So unbelievably mad. Especially with the Davies one, because it just, to me, he was so clearly far ahead of the defender. And one of your colleagues was kind of defending the play, saying that it wasn't too bad on the broadcast last night. And I was just mad at him. I'm like, I don't care. You know, you just say the thing. Even if you feel that way, you bury that inside. It's only Canadian people watching this. All right. Like, give us what we want.
I was talking to a former international last night. He was saying, yeah, you know what? For me, it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
And I got angry with him. So I was like, come on. Yeah. Can you not just enjoy this and join the bandwagon? Don't break it down technically. Yeah. For me, it was a penalty, but there was that argument. For sure, but I don't know. Get used to it, mate, because there's more of that on its way.
It seems like if you're the fastest guy on the pitch by a significant amount and you have a head start on somebody and then you get pushed down, that's a penalty. Like, that's just, you know, in every sport, in every single sport.
I wish I could say that I've been there. I haven't been there. I was never the fastest on the pitch, but come on now. Let's watch the replays.
James Sharman, soccer analyst for Sportsnet. And, of course, Sharman's Proper Pies. Go eat one. They're terrific. Thanks for making time today, buddy, always.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
See you, man.
JD, you've mentioned the reaction of the Panama team to Davies' goal a couple times. And the thing I kept coming back to watching it was Andre 3000 as Sugar Dunkerton in semi-pro when they do the first ever alley-oop and the ref's blowing his whistle and trying to call a foul, but he doesn't know
what
foul he should call. And the other team doesn't know if that's legal. The other coach is arguing. That's the Davies' goal right there.
Yeah. You know what I mean, though? Like, I completely understand being reluctant to this narrative because it has been around for a while with Canada Soccer, right? The program is different. The program's about to change. The program. Hey, this is not. I really do think that there is something to what Osorio said about how there are people in this country who have not gravitated towards Canada Soccer, who don't care about Canada Soccer, but who do love the sport and have natural interests, whether it's with Italy, whether it's with Portugal. There are massive fan bases here, right? England. But Canada Soccer hasn't felt that way at times, right? Like, just imagine if England played a soccer game here that was a World Cup qualifier, the demand for those tickets, what they would be.
Be wild.
Right? Portugal plays one.
Portugal plays one in Cambridge?
Right.
The whole city would be there.
It'd be a vacation day, holiday.
Having not only the star player on the team in Davies, but having the star player have a moment like that, I know it just happened. And so it's here, it's in my face, and I was so excited by it that maybe I'm over-personalizing this, but to me, I can't get over it. I can't get over how special a moment that was. And I just really, really do believe that, you know, if you're a fan in Edmonton right now and you're going to get an opportunity to pay for these tickets.
Oh, you're going.
No, are you going? Like, yeah, you're buying the red jacket the premium price all of a sudden. So you show up and go, wait, how is this much money? Is this Canada Goose? And they're like, nah. It's just whatever.
It's Canada Soccer.
Yeah. You just buy it, pay for it. So I'm very excited. I'm very happy for Canadian soccer fans in this country too, because it's been a group that gets crapped on by people like me all the time who just kick sand in their face.
You're one of them.
Yeah. Aww. But I've had friends who, when Canada Soccer has laid those eggs that James said that people are expecting them to take or to lay, I've been part of the chorus that goes, that's what you get for thinking we could be good. That's what you get for telling me to watch this game. Because what was it? Was it Honduras? Remember the last time the qualifiers? It was Honduras, right? Where they got embarrassed? Oh, I can't remember. Okay.
I can't.
Yeah, it was. Vic's giving me the thumbs up. All right, we got it, Vic. Just that moment, I remember just being invested, watching a game, and then it being over and looking at my friend being like, can't believe you made me watch
this. What a waste.
So
as he's shattered, as he's standing there in the bar with his scarf on, and I just immediately am like, how dare you make me do this and make me watch this game only for this?
To make this about me.
Yeah.
Because that's your thing.
It is my thing. Don't come from my corner.
It's let me just say, it's a lot nicer to be going through this with Canada Soccer than it has been over the last 20 years, going through it over and over again with Canada Basketball on the men's side.
It's tough.
It's a lot of the same narratives and discussions without that kind of, I mean.
I don't like that you brought that up because that hurts me and it ruins my day that you did that. And I would say that, I mean this sincerely. I would think that Canada Basketball is responsible for two of the saddest 10 moments as a sports fan that I've had in my life.
So definitely the Venezuela game in 2015.
Oh, yeah. Venezuela game. Okay. I was at an ex-girlfriend's house. I watched it there.
Wait, was she an ex at the time?
No.
Okay. Because that would have been
weird.
Well,
you already set yourself up for a
no,
bad night.
I was at her place and I went out on her balcony and I think I smoked like 6 cigarettes back to back to back to back in a row and just sat there with my head in my hands. And
then you guys broke up.
No, the worst event. Yeah, she was like, I'm dumping this guy. He smokes 6 cigarettes in a row and he's despondent.
That's a red flag right there.
Loss that involved Kelly Olynyk falling down. But no, the ones that break you the most in sports are the ones where you sit there and go, I don't understand how this happened. Like, this can't be real. Where you just go, this can't be real. I'm going to wake up from this dream and we're going to go back to reality, which is that didn't just happen. And where then you go into this phase of, why do I even watch sports? Like, I don't like the way this feels. This feels so much worse than when it feels good. And I'm I don't control anything in these days. You go on that dark avenue. Canada Basketball has done that to me. And I want them to have their Canada Soccer moment.
It's okay. Hockey Canada has been pretty loyal and faithful to me. So I'll keep supporting.
It's true. It's really true. Canada Hockey. That's why we need everybody back at the Olympics. It's because it's just like, hey,
let us
have our thing, all right?
Let us have some
medals. That's our thing that we do good.
Yeah.
Don't take that away. Don't make that the thing that doesn't show up. Please.